This is the Charles Cook Podcast, where lovers of liberty and individual rights in Tennessee go to get information, focusing on state and local issues from Bristol to Memphis, discussing the important issues with facts, truths, and opinions based on constitutional principles. Remember, we stimulate, but never indoctrinate your mind. Welcome to the Charles Cook Podcast.
Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to the podcast. Don't know what's happened to my picture there, but it looks all blurry here. Let's see. I don't know. Don't know here. So anyway, maybe it'll straighten up in a few minutes. So anyway, I got a great podcast tonight. But before I get started with my guest, I want to make sure that you remember to like and share on the social media pages. It helps me get helps the algorithms find me and stuff, and it helps people find me and brings more coverage to it. So with that, please do that and share it with your friends. Tonight I have a great guest, a young lady who has been working on behalf of Tennesseans and covering it, covering our legislature and bringing truth to us through the Tennessee Conservatives. So with that, let me bring in Adele Kirshner. Adelia Kirshner, we talked about this and I just did it.
Oh my goodness.
The East Tennessean comes out of me right off the bat. So Adelia, welcome to the podcast. I'm glad to have you on. We've been trying to get this worked out. And I know after you needed a break, after that, you probably had to rest your mind. And maybe with the slime down there, you may have had to take a couple of Clorox baths. I don't know.
Well, you know, Charles, I appreciate you having me on. You reached out to me like right before the legislative session was out, and you're like, when this all wraps up, can I get you on? And I was like, yeah, I just might need to debrief a little bit. And I remember you saying you might never recover. And I was like, right. And I heard so many people during my time up in Nashville say the same thing. Like people that I was talking to, I'd overhear it in other people's conversations where they would be up there for just a day and they'd be like, yeah, I feel like after being in this place, I need to go home and take a shower.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's a shame that we have to feel that way about the people that are actually closer to us than Washington. You know, you're talking about representatives that live in the same town or at least the same region as us. And, it's a shame that people feel that way about going and seeing where they actually represent us at or are supposed to represent us at. So, but I think you've done a great job this year, and especially for your first year and everything. So kind of fill everybody in with what you've done with the Tennessee Conservative and the Tennessee Conservative News organization founded by Brandon Lewis, correct? Mm-hmm. And let us know how long you've been there and what you've done before you ended up covering the legislature this year in Nashville.
Yeah, for sure. So I guess it's been over 2 years now. So it's been about 2.5 years since I started writing for the Tennessee Conservative. They were looking for another writer. I came across that they were looking for one, and I sent an article over, and our wonderful editor and media coordinator, Jason Vaughn, he was like, okay, this looks good. Published it the next publishing day. And I was like, okay. And I've been writing for them ever since. And then last year, last fall, Brandon had mentioned that he wanted to try to send somebody up to Nashville during the 2025 legislative session to actually be at the Capitol in person, to be able to talk to the lawmakers in person as all this is going on, because the legislature is like our bread and butter at the Tennessee Conservative. It is our busiest time of the year, outside of election time, I guess, but that's not as intense every time it comes around. And Yeah, so we do our best to track like any conservative legislation, any very much not conservative legislation, break it down for people in kind of layman's terms as much as we can, because it really is difficult, even for me sometimes, even having been doing it for this long, to understand what's going on in this like 4-page bill, because it's all in legal terms, right? In legislative terms. And so Brandon thought, you know, if we're able to send somebody up there, we might be able to cover this even more closely than we have been. And we're one of the only publications that I've seen keep as close of an eye on so many pieces of legislation every year. So I was happy to be able to do this. You know, at first he didn't know who would be able to go up there. And I was like, well, I think it'll work for me with my schedule. And yeah, I ended up being the guinea pig.
Well, so speaking of the guinea pig now, so you must have had like some kind of thoughts of what it would be like when you were going. And so what were your thoughts, what you thought it would be when you went in?
Well, okay, so I guess, you know, nobody likes to admit this, but I guess I was a little naive. even having kept such a close eye on Tennessee politics for a few years, I still had a little bit of naivety going into actually being up there and being physically present there. I guess I thought that I'd only met a couple of the lawmakers up there, most of them conservative ones who had shown up at events and stuff that I've been at. So I hadn't really personally interacted or been introduced to the majority of our representatives and senators. And so in my head, I'm like, you know, this is going to be intense. It's going to be uncomfortable, but these people haven't met me before. I've never met these people before personally. And the way that I go about life is kind of giving people the benefit of the doubt. I don't tend to treat people differently really based on anything, unless they have like in my personal life just destroyed something, like, you know, like then, you know, you get into the weeds of personal drama and whatever, but like in just professional relationships and like talking to people, like, you give people the benefit of the doubt, because at the end of the day, we're all human beings, right? And so I know, like, covering all of these issues from afar and not seeing these people ever or on a regular basis or whatever, that, you know, they're probably just because I disagree with one of their policy decisions, or because the Tennessee conservative disagrees with one of their policy positions, or we think somebody else would be better in office than them, or we call them a rhino, just because of that doesn't mean that I don't think, well, this person might be a decent person. They have a family, they have a wife, or they have a husband, they've got children. I mean, we're human, so we have different facets of us, right? So right. I'm not looking at these people and go, you're disgusting, or you're terrible, or I know I'm not going to like you. I could very well like you as a person and not like your political career. I mean,
right. Well, at the end of the day, you know, there's folks there that I actually like, but they vote wrong. And the only thing really truly affects us is how they vote. Mm-hmm. It's not how they are. You know, they may be fine to sit down and watch a football game with, or mm-hmm. go out to dinner with, or maybe even attend church with, but it's how they vote is what affects us.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, I figured, you know, on the basis that that's how I look at things, I figured I could go up there and meet these people. And even if they didn't want to talk to me, when it comes to like, hey, can I get a quote for this article, et cetera, I figured we could at least have a pass in the hallway. We know each other's names. We've met in person now. Hi, how you doing? Okay, goodbye. And that was not the case for the majority of the people I talked to, I would say. And so the first couple weeks up there were pretty rough, because I just wasn't prepared for the hostility I was going to get from some grown men who could literally be my father or grandfather. And, you know, that led to some interactions that, like, if I put myself in their shoes, I'm like, I just wouldn't have acted that way. because right. of the way that I view relationships with people. And so I don't know. I walked in with a little bit of naivety, but I think I kind of have a better gauge on how things work up there now.
Okay. So my next question is to follow up with that. Then when did reality set in for you that it wasn't going to be the way you thought?
The first week. I had a representative ask me if I might want to go to the Williamson County Inc. Policy panel that was happening that first week of the legislative session. And I was like, well, that sounds interesting. And so I went, and, you know, it's got the Williamson County delegation. So I think what that's Todd Warner, Gino Bolso, Joey Hensley, Lee Reeves, Jack Johnson, and Jake McCalman. I think that's the lineup that was there. And so I go, I sit. I wasn't really planning on writing anything off of that until, like, I was there. And I was like, you know, this might make a good article. I don't know. But I was more so just, I went for personal reasons because politics interests me. And I was like, this should be interesting, right? Right. To hear what they have to say on these, on this stuff. And so after the panel was through, you know, people are, what do you call it? That thing that I could get better at, but I don't like it, so I don't get better at it. Networking. So people are, you know, networking and talking to each other and all this stuff. And I thought this would be a good opportunity to go introduce myself to some of the lawmakers that had showed up for the panel. Several of them were very, very nice, very welcoming. I spoke to one of our senators in particular, and I haven't called him out yet. And I specifically told a few people that I explained the situation to, like, don't call him out for it. This is my deal. But Jack Johnson, I mean, I walked up to him like, I'm 22 years old. This is my first time being in this type of space in this capacity. And all I wanted to do was go introduce myself to the man, because I'm like, this guy's got a pretty lengthy political career so far. I mean, even though I don't agree with a lot of what he does, from my viewpoint, I'm still quite impressed by his political career. Like, you know, because I can separate the two things in my brain. And so I walked up to him and I was like, hey, I was like, I just want to introduce myself real quick. I'm Adelia Kirchner. I write for the Tennessee Conservative. That's why I'm here. But I just wanted to say hey and whatever. And his immediate response was pretty much to tell me that I wrote for a dumpster of a publication, and that I was going to destroy my career. And then I was like, "You're not going to be." I was like, "Thank you for letting me know. You're not going to run away if I show up to your office, are you?" And he's like, "You're welcome in my office anytime, just not on behalf of the paper." And I was like, "Wonderful." Like, and it was just a automatically negative interaction when it didn't need to be.
Right.
And I just walked away kind of baffled. And I left and I was like thinking to myself, and I, you know, I said this to a few people. I was like, you know, if you would take 5 seconds to get to know me as a person, or to simply ask me the question, you would know that I have no interest in having a career in journalism or having a career as a reporter. That's not why I'm doing this. Right. And and it was also kind of like his response. I mean, it was also kind of a insult to my intelligence, because if I did have an interest, if I was pursuing a career in journalism and I chose to write for a place like the Tennessee Conservative, that would make me a little stupid. Because, you know, you can't write for something so controversial, something so not official media, according to all these big media publications, right? And continue, like, I probably would have a real hard time trying to get a job at the Tennessean. I'm just saying, like, you know, after this. So his response insinuated that, like, you know, I clearly wanted this and I hadn't thought it through enough to go, hey, they might not hire me if I write at this place. But also, I'm like, you know, I don't even want a career in general. Like my hope for life is to find somebody who wants to be my husband and somebody who I want to be a wife to, and to have children and to raise them and to homeschool them. Like, that is my desire in life. And so I was like, just totally out the window. Like, no context for what he said, but just, and then I'm like, you know, if I was in his position and a 22-year-old young woman had come up to me to introduce themselves, and they write for a publication I don't like, they write articles that call me out on things that I'm not happy with being called out on, they call me a rhino and it pisses me off, and like all these different things, and you know, I just don't want to see this person, still I would not have handled it the way he handled it, because I could have in his shoes simply been like, oh, it's nice to meet you, I'm Jack Johnson, quick yep. question, why do you write for the Tennessee Conservative?
Right.
And then go from there. Like, ask questions. Don't just bleh.
Yeah, absolutely. And but that's the way they are. And they want to attack the people who they are on, supposedly be on our side. Mm. But they attack them. So that leads me into my next question then. Right there, perfect. So, how are you treated by all parties, even the Democrats, the Republicans, the establishment, and true conservatives? I'm just sitting back, knowing, you know, I follow the Tennessee Conservative. I'm betting you were treated worse by the establishment Republicans than you were the Democrats.
You know, I don't like when other people are so right off the bat. I'm joking, but yeah, no, you've got that one pretty spot on. The Democrats, I mean, I didn't interact with them like a ton, because, you know, we are a conservative publication, and then it's hard too, because, you know, you want to get the Democrat opinion on things that aren't exactly the controversial ones, because the controversial ones, they tend to just kind of spew a lot of like illegal immigration. They tend to give a lot mm-hmm. of points that we've already heard, and it's not logical. None of it's thought out. Right. So, but I didn't
be cordial with them.
Oh yeah. I mean, they smiled at me in the halls. I think I brought brownies to one of the legislative assistants because she was so nice to me my first couple weeks up there, because it shouldn't really, at the end of the day, matter, like all the political beliefs and all of the theological beliefs, like all the things that we think shouldn't really matter when it comes down to how we treat people. Right. So yeah, I mean, like during special session, Gloria Johnson was happy to meet with me and give me a quote about some of the flood relief stuff or the hurricane relief stuff. I mean, you know, so I had plenty of very positive interactions. Representative Justin Pearson, for all of his drama, he is one of my siblings, just like finds him so fun to watch. Like when I play the legislative session, like from home or like in there around. And so Representative Justin Pearson took the time to meet with my sister for her birthday week and, right. you know, get a picture with her, sign her book. Like, so, I mean, there's these things where it's like that, if they were going to treat me differently based off of my political beliefs and what I'm there for, then they would treat me like crap in those instances, but they mm-hmm. didn't. So I appreciate that. The establishment Republicans, that would be the ones who were not willing to talk to me. I got rescheduled with some of, I tried to meet with House leadership a couple of times when I was first up there, because I just kind of wanted to clear the air. Because once I got up there, I realized it wasn't just going up there on my own merit. You know, they weren't going to just be willing to say hi to me. So I wanted to meet with like William Lamberth, et cetera, and just kind of be like, hey, like, I'm not trying to be involved in drama. I'm just here to do my job. And so like, if you're not going to give me a quote ever, that's fine. If you want me to just get the generic quote, like, I just wanted to have like some sort of base level of understanding that I'm not like as scary as they think I was.
Right.
I don't know what they were thinking, honestly, but I got rescheduled a bunch, to the point where it was clear they were not going to meet with me. And I had plenty of interesting comments made, like, under people's breaths, like kind of attempts at trying to provoke me, like, as I would walk through the hallways or stand in the elevator or whatever. And that went away more as session went on, I guess, because people were maybe a little busier, didn't have as much time to think of witty little things to say to provoke the young woman roaming the halls that's literally not a threat to them. but, you know, I did have one senator. I was walking through the Cordell Hall tunnel. Like, there's a tunnel that connects the office building and the Capitol building. Right. And it's like an underground one. And it's kind of fun to go through. But I was walking through there one day, and one of these senators was kind of saying something or whatever. And as I walked past, he makes a comment about the Tennessee conservative. And I didn't exactly hear what he said or whatever, but I didn't even turn my head. I was like, because that's how I had started to approach all this. I was like, I'm not like, what is the point? Like, it's so juvenile. And so then I keep walking down the tunnel. This man runs to catch up with me. And goes, man, I thought for sure that would get some type of response, or like, I thought for sure that'd get you to at least look. And I was like, really? Like, this is what we're doing? And to that lawmaker's credit, he did, you know, he actually came up and had a conversation with me afterwards.
Yeah.
He was the only one who ever did that.
Yeah. I just wonder, most of these guys that probably treated you like that or the ones that try to be Mr. Macho and stuff. And I wonder how they'd have felt if people would have treated their 22-year-old daughter like that.
Well, and that's a good, it's a great point. And it's sad that you have to make it like that. It's like when it comes to cases of, sexual assault or rape or things like that, you know, where you have to, like, somebody has to hear, what if it was your daughter, before they go, oh yeah, good point. And it's like, what, like, should you really have to hear, what if it was your daughter and another 60-year-old man was talking to her like that? You know, would you be okay with that? And so, I mean, I would, you know, call my dad and call my mom and, you know, rant about these things. And my dad at one point was like, you know, he's like, because this is your job, I'm not going to. But, you know, like, he would get heated because, I mean, I am his daughter. He does feel protective over me. And the reality is that these grown men shouldn't be acting like little children towards me. And I think at one point he was like, maybe we need to make business cards. And it needs to say, like, if you have a complaint, contact this number. And I could just hand them out to people, like, if they didn't like me, and it would be my dad's phone number. But I was like, that's a little too much. You're not getting paid for that, but
yeah. Well, you know, I don't have a daughter, but I know how I'd feel, because I'm that way about my sons. Mm-hmm. You mistreat my boys, and you're gonna have dad to deal with. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you could really make my hair stand on my head, what little I've got left, if it would have been a daughter, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's your child, whether it's a male or a female. That's the only two sexes, you know.
Yeah.
The only two. So I just think you have these guys like the William Lamberts and Jeremy Faison's and folks like that, that like to, you know, act all that big and tough and everything. And they treat a 22-year-old girl, lady, not girl, but lady, like that. Mm-hmm. So, I noticed that you did have opportunities to interview and talk with people that many people consider true conservatives. Mm-hmm. But I just sat here and I thought about something. I never saw you do an interview. Correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think I ever seen you do an interview with a committee chairman or chairperson.
I did one with Kirk Hastin. Okay. Or has to. I can't ever remember how to say his name. And I believe he chairs the chaired the K-12 education subcommittee this year, I think.
Yeah. It's only one?
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Think somebody they get their orders from the speaker?
I think that's how it tends to work. That's how the rumors go around. yeah. That's everything I've heard. You know, I feel like you can kind of see it too when somebody gets put into a position as a committee chairman. Like the way that they handle themselves in the media kind of changes, the way that they communicate with their constituents kind of changes. And so, I mean, I don't think it's always indicative of like them changing their policy positions necessarily, but I think that their behavior does change because, you know, that's how you move up and right. Don't get ostracized because, I mean, if leadership has been willing to give you this position, right, you can't just throw it in the can for them and piss them off, right?
Right.
I don't know.
Become the lapdog for the leadership.
Yeah.
I'll say it that way. I'm not going back. Probably not going down there next year to cover this. You may go back next year. I don't know. So, yeah. I don't want anybody saying it. You called me a lapdog.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. And I mean, to William Lambert, to his credit, like he didn't like personally interact with me in a negative manner. There was, and I only say that like dispel that because there was a bit of a rumor that went around that he specifically had been directly rude to me, and that's not true. When that rumor was going around, it did let me know that there were a few people up there willing to kind of step in the gap for me and defend me slash, you know, say something about it. So you know, I guess I'll take that for what it is.
good that's good to see that at least there's a few left in the world anyway. Mm-hmm. Even in Nashville. So
yeah. So, no, we got some good conservatives up there.
Yeah. So now that the session's over, and you've stepped away for a few weeks and been able to clear the cobwebs out and look back over it, so what's your thoughts now, looking back on the session, now that it's over? What do you take away from it?
I guess, I mean, my biggest takeaway on a personal level was kind of just, I wrapped everything up with just such a thankfulness and a gratefulness for the people who are up there, who are faith-filled and are truly doing their best to walk in God's guidance. You know, I feel like, if I'm going to pick any upsides or bright sides to me being up there, I would pick that, you know, being around so much negativity or drama or darkness or shadiness or whatever words you want to use, being around that type of environment, and then also being someone with faith, kind of allowed me to hone in on all the little spots where I could see God working. Mm-hmm. So because the darkness was so evident, it also made the light kind of shine a little bit more. And so,
wow, I like that. You could see when you could see light, it all shined brighter because of the darkness.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. That's good.
Yeah. So that's kind of my biggest takeaway. And yeah, I mean, you had Monty Fritz on the show recently, and you know, I'm incredibly grateful for him. Yeah, I mean, there was one time I was in his office and we had done an interview, I think. And then he was talking about something and we got on to like, you know, career and family and all stuff. And he straight up pulled the Bible out, started reading to me. And I was like, you know, I don't get this, you know, in my normal everyday life. So this is just like, but it was such a bright moment when I might not have had the best day. And like, I already tried to get this interview with this establishment Republican like 5 times. And there's still, you know, stringing me along, because I hardly ever got a no.
Yeah.
For the record, being up there, I never got a no. And I was just like, why do these people have such a problem with just saying, no, I'm not interviewing with you? Instead, just be like, well, next week or the next week, or come back later, or come back, talk to my assistant. And then the assistant would string me along for a couple weeks. And I'm like, if you don't want to talk to me, it's okay. Just say so.
Right. Well, they do it by design. And yeah. You figured that out too. Yeah. If you made an appointment, well, if you made an appointment with them, that was one you couldn't make with someone else,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's, it was all by design, and yeah. they meant to do it and cause problems. And that just shows you how petty they are. And the sad thing is about it, they're there to represent you too, even though you're covering them.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sad part about it. And so it just goes to show you what type of people we're actually electing to mm-hmm. go to Nashville and represent us. And it's sad. So, well, now that it's over, and I know you said this is not a career. You really don't want a career. You want to do, you have plans, and there, you have things that you want to do. And that's great. And there's nothing, what you said, for what you want for your life, I think is outstanding to want to be a stay-at-home mom and take care of your kids and be a homemaker and do for your husband and everything. Be a wife.
Mm-hmm.
But until that happens, you know, it's not going to happen next week unless you're holding out on us, are you?
No, I think that one's
next week.
Not as far as I'm aware. That okay. that aspect of life is very much not under my control. So
I hope there's not a boyfriend sitting back there getting put on the spot.
No.
Okay. Or if he's listening, if he listens later. But so do you, if you're still with the Tennessee Conservative, do you plan to go back next year and cover?
Yeah, so I don't know right now what it looks like. I don't even think our team knows whether, you know, we'll be able to, or whether the numbers look good enough to send somebody up there again next year. I don't know if we might send somebody up there again next year in a different manner, where it's like not like every single day, but we're still able to get somebody up there in person to meet with lawmakers and get those interviews, etc. But I either way it goes, I mean, we will be covering the legislative session, I can tell you that much, because, you know, that's part of why I enjoy doing this work, is because, you know, I might not be interested in being a reporter, but I am interested in people learning more about what's going on in their local and state governments. And when we're reporting on the legislative session, we're giving people the ability. Now, whether or not they sit there and read that article or they just read the headline, that's up to them. Whether or not they sit there and listen to that full interview or they just watch the 1 minute snippet, that's up to them. So really how informed you are is up to you. But I am grateful that I've had the opportunity for as long as I have to aid in people understanding what is actually happening, because I mean, you know, it's important. I mean, with like with things like the school vouchers or the Education Freedom Scholarship stuff that happened this year and last year, I mean, it was all super intense and confusing, right? Like last year, it was like such a mess that they just postponed it to this year. And then this year, when the school vouchers bill was filed, I think in December or November of 2024, mm-hmm. I think we were all looking at it going, well, at least they're being more transparent this year.
Yeah.
And they've actually put the bill out in enough time for people to read it and look it over and, you know, for us to get the word out about it. And then they call the special session in the middle of regular session, and then they file a new bill, and then there's amendments, and then there's this, and it's just like, I'm like, what in the world? But I mean, if, you know, if I wasn't able to be up there in the thick of it and really be paying attention to what's going on and be reporting on it, then there's plenty of people that read those articles that wouldn't have remotely understood what was going on because it was not clear. So, right.
Well, and it would have been, here's what it would have been. News Channel 5 or one of them out of Phil Williams in Nashville would have reported on it. And the establishment Republicans would have said, oh, that's just the liberal media here in Nashville reporting. You can't believe anything they say. They didn't want a conservative publication reporting on it and telling the truth about it from a conservative point of view and that getting out. And that's why the Tennessee Conservative News and Tennessee Stands are treated the way they are. And, you know, but they, you know, they could have played it the way they always have. Well, that's just the liberal media doing that. And now they had you there and, you know, and you shed light on that and let people know, okay, this is what's really happened from a conservative point of view.
Yeah. And I mean, like, and on that issue specifically, I mean, I'm sitting up there, like, I'm talking to people, not always on camera, right? And there were so many lawmakers on that Education Freedom Scholarship bill that they weren't necessarily on board with it last year. They weren't necessarily on board with it this year, but something happened in that week of special session where they were walking around and they seemed to be genuinely conflicted. Like, and so I'm like, what is at stake here? I mean, I'm not being told what's at stake because they're worried I'm going to report on it, which obviously, you know, I would prefer to be able to report on it, but, yeah. But, like, you know, you get a insider look at kind of what's going on and how these people are making their votes. And I feel like a lot of the votes on that were not made because of that general narrative of, oh, you know, my district's kind of split 50-50. It was more like, you know, they were split 50-50 between doing what they were originally going to do and what they were being asked to do for whatever incentive or threat.
Yeah. They've kidnapped my kids or my grandkids. And I can't get them back unless I vote with the leadership. So
I doubt anything was that extreme, but never know.
You get the point. You get the point. Yeah. You know, yeah, that's sarcasm on my part. So,
yeah.
You know, so anyway, so going into it, if you go back next year, you're going to have a totally different game plan, right?
Yeah, I would. Well, and I'd also be a little bit more familiar with the landscape because that's the thing, too, is that, you know, I've been reporting on these people for a couple years prior to this. And so I have an okay feel for, like, who's really conservative from afar and who's really not conservative from afar and et cetera. But I mean, we've got, like, what, 200-something lawmakers up there or 197 or whatever the number is. It's
Got 99. It's not small. You got 99 House members and 33 senators.
Okay. So, yeah. So it's like over 100 people.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and a lot of them, their names aren't constantly being thrown around. They're not always sponsoring the controversial bills. They're just voting on these controversial bills. And so, like, going up there, I mean, there was a lot of people that I didn't know where they stood, really, because they don't get in the spotlight too much, which is, it's fair. I mean, if your district's not asking you to bring something that's super hot, then, you know, it's okay to not bring it, I guess. But so, like, if I haven't been reporting on them, I don't really know much about them. And so when I got up there, I was, like, constantly having to go gauge, is this person really somebody that I want to be talking to? Is this person being shady? Because, like, you also have to be able to read. Mm-hmm. Are they being nice to you because they are a decent person? Or are they being nice to you because they're trying to get information out of you because they're not on your side. And that's a whole nother issue. That's always fun.
Right. Yeah. They're playing you. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. So you got that insight. If you go back next year,
So. Yeah, I have a better gauge for where a lot of the not so in the media folks stand on things. But there's still a lot of people that I didn't really get to know that well, because, I mean, I'm one person. How do you get to know?
Well, there's 132 people there, and if you add some of them split personality, you got close to 200.
Well, and then add in the legislative assistance, because really that's the first, that's the door that's keeping you away from a lot of those lawmakers. And I mean, if they've got a pretty tough legislative assistant, good luck.
Right. Oh yeah, I've been down there several times. So, okay. So, anything else you want to share with the people, the viewers, before we end this?
I mean, I don't really got anything in particular, I don't think, but I'm really grateful for the experience, and I mean, it was funded by our readers and our audience, and so I just really appreciated that so many people were so invested in sending somebody up there to cover this for them. So I hope that what we got out of the deal was worth it to those folks. And, you know, I appreciate the work that you do through this podcast and giving us conservatives a comfortable platform to share on. And I appreciate like what Tennessee Stands and Gary Humbel do, and like all those representatives up there that are actually holding on to a sense of integrity. Like, okay, Jody Barrett this year. What a man.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, he was just... it was the most petty stuff this year. Yeah. They did not let him do anything. It was terrible. And, I mean... Of course, I'm there and I'm seeing a little bit behind the scenes. His legislative assistant was very sweet to me and kind of gave me space to come in there and take a breather and have some coffee and things like that. So, you know, but I got to see the behind the scenes of a lot of what was going on. I'm like, how do you alienate somebody like that? Because you're upset that they've voted on something, like when the whole thing that they all tout is the vote your district, vote your conscience, and that's only exactly what he does.
Leadership.
Yeah, that's exactly what he does. And then, oh, how dare he run against Paul Sherrill for a leadership position? How dare he vote against expelling Gloria Johnson that one time because whoever wrote those resolutions was too lazy to actually write the correct things in the resolutions, you know, like, and so when you get down to it, you just realize how petty and juvenile a lot of it is. And I think, honestly, like the bill to that had to do with removing the caucus and convention rights from local GOPs, I think that was a prime example of how juvenile the thought process of some of these lawmakers is, because I mean, I was talking to people in the hallways about that, like, and specifically a lot of the legislative assistants who they're not lawmakers, and a lot of them don't have the same opinions as the lawmaker they work for, but they see all the drama that goes on. Mm-hmm. They know these people for the most part. And so the amount of ones that I heard go, yeah, that was petty. And I'm like, and they're not even personally invested in this piece of legislation. They just could recognize that it was clearly motivated out of something that was so minor and unnecessary.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. I think we just got to, conservatives like us, just got to keep showing up and, you know, making sure that like, you know, we're not bothered by emotional immaturity, because you have to be emotionally immature to be bothered by that. Right. So,
well, and here's where it comes down to it. Next year is primary season. Mm-hmm. And we make them pay for what they did in the legislative season in the primary season.
Yep.
And it's coming around for us. So,
well, and you know, we do, the Tennessee Conservative does the Rhino Report every year after the session wraps up. And they made it real difficult on us this year, because you had leadership and all these people that are typically casting Rhino votes, bringing all these good bills all of a sudden, because you know it's the year before
right,
you know, and so you kind of love it, because it's like, when it comes down to it, we can't really say this person was making all these rhino votes this year, because maybe they didn't, because they know that election season is coming up, and so it's always a fun one trying to call people out when they've when they're trying to push a different narrative, because they hope, well, they know that people have short memories.
Well, and so we'll see what happens next year, and going into it, next legislative season, and then to the primary season, but we got to be getting ready. Well, Adelia, I appreciate you coming on and giving us a little bit of insight. I know we could probably talk another hour and a half about this stuff, and but I just wanted to give you an opportunity to tell your insights of and what you've seen this year and share it with the people. But this is what I want to tell people. If you appreciate what Adelia and the Tennessee Conservative do, you need to go on their website and donate to these folks, and send them some money so they can help continue to inform the people of Tennessee, especially the conservatives, of what's going on, and keep you up to date, and subscribe to their emails and their text alerts and stuff, so you can get that. But it doesn't happen for free. They need your money to help make this work. So I would ask you, please go on and do that. Okay. Adelia, I appreciate you coming on and being part of this. Stay on the line when I sign off here.
All right.
And we'll kind of catch up a little bit more. But anything you want to close with?
Just thank you for having me on. It's been good. And I look forward to coming on again in the future, perhaps.
Absolutely. I'd love to have you on. So, yeah, anything you got you want to cover, want to come on and talk about, come on, let me know. You know how to get in touch with me. So we'll do that.
Do
all
really
right, folks.
It.
Yep. Thank you for joining us. Share this information, and we'll see you on the next podcast. God bless you, and have a great week. Bye-bye.